Thanks, Lois. So we're continuing in John's Gospel, and today we're looking at the idea of kingdom living. So it's been an exciting morning so far. We're working, we're back, we've got a signal again on the monitor there. This is a temporary thing because the screen was becoming so washed out that it's getting harder to read. But it is quite temporary, and every now and again funny things happen. So we're looking at the kingdom. I guess as we do that, I'm really taking a leap of, I don't know if it's faith, it's just a giant leap. It's speculative, we'll see how we go. There may even be audible groans at this point. I apologise for that. The groans won't be from me, but from some of you perhaps. Has anybody here seen The Matrix? The movie The Matrix. It's actually 21 years old. It was in 1999. And I'm going to use The Matrix movie as a bit of an illustration this morning. And the danger in that is that half of you may well go, well, I haven't seen The Matrix, so it makes it a bit difficult. And then the danger is that the other half of you will go, I hate The Matrix. But I'm sure I can't be... I'm sure I can't be the only person who loves The Matrix and the way that it is such a great illustration for the kingdom of God. I don't know if you've thought about that, but there's this little part in The Matrix where Morpheus, and that's Morpheus' sunglasses that you can see, Keanu Reeves plays the character of Neo. But Morpheus knows something of this kingdom, of this reality that Neo doesn't, but Neo is curious. It's a little bit like Nicodemus who comes to Jesus at night and says, I want to know more. And so what Morpheus does is he gives him a choice. And as you can see, hopefully, in those sunglasses of Morpheus, he's holding out a red pill and a blue pill. And so he asks Neo to make his choice. And this is how Morpheus describes those two pills. He says, you take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. In other words, the blue pill is the one where I don't see the extra reality. I just understand things as I always have, and I just don't worry about my curiosity. I just go back to bed and I wake up and it's just life as per normal. But Morpheus says, you take the red pill and you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. I don't know if you've seen or read Alice in Wonderland. A whole world, a whole reality that springs to life. And that is what Morpheus is promising Neo if he takes the red pill. Which pill does he take? What does it mean? What does it matter? Is it just that he is, I guess, agreeing to wanting to know more and not being content and happy with the reality as it stands? Well, that's a little bit of what's going on today. Nicodemus has come to Jesus, and Jesus essentially says, do you want the red pill or do you want the blue pill? And we'll have a look a bit at that in a minute. One of the things that I need to tell you about The Matrix, because, and there could be an audible groan again, we haven't finished with The Matrix yet. It will reappear again several times in this talk. I apologise. But one of the things that you need to know is this, that the reality that Neo's eyes are open to when he takes that red pill is that he's not actually living reality at all. He is in a bath of some sort of soupy substance with a thing plugged into the back of his head, which basically everything that he understands as reality is actually a computer program that his mind has been inserted into. Taking the red pill wakes him up from that. In fact, you might even say he's born again, and suddenly has his eyes open to a whole nother reality. And so the first point that I want to make this morning is this idea of seeing the kingdom, this reality that is here. It is all around us all of the time, and yet we often forget it. One of the things I loved about that psalm that we were reading together is that the psalmist has a perspective. He has very good vision of what the kingdom is, and he can see it. He recognises that everything that we need comes from God, and he provides for our needs. That's kingdom thinking. It's a whole new reality. And there's a whole lot of people in this world, isn't there, who have no idea that all the good things in their life come from God. And so what you can see there is a little part of the code the Matrix, the computer program that Neo is in. And at one point, there's a guy who's been taken out of the program, and he can look at the code and he says, you don't see numbers anymore. You can just see people, you can see. He can understand what is reality and what is not, and he can see and read the code. For us, though, how do we understand? How do we see the kingdom? Well, Jesus says to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless something happens. Unless he takes the red pill, unless he is born again. He needs to come out of what he understands as reality into the bigger and greater reality. Now, it's always puzzled me when Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. That, actually comes after verse 2. And in verse 2, it starts, the conversation seems to begin with Nicodemus saying this, Rabbi, I know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. And I always used to look at that and I think, okay, so Nicodemus comes and he says, you must be from God because you do great things that you would expect somebody from God to do. And then Jesus almost seems to ignore all that and go, I'll tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. It's like, Jesus, you're off topic. Or is this just a teaching that Jesus is going into? Nicodemus has said, well, I reckon you're from God. And Jesus goes, well, if you think I'm from God, I will teach you something from God. But I actually think that it could be that these two comments are actually very, very closely connected. Jesus says what he says because of what Nicodemus has said. Nicodemus has said that you are a teacher who has come from God. Nicodemus actually claims to be able to recognize what is of God. Nicodemus, in his statement that to Jesus that you are from God because of what you do, in one sense sounds good, doesn't it? And yet Jesus wants to just highlight something very, very important, and that is that if you're going to claim to be able to recognize what is of God, then you actually need to be born of God. You need to have been born again. It's from Nicodemus' claim to be able to recognize what is of God that Jesus says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Now, one of the things, and I don't know exactly what's going on, but I do wonder if Jesus has picked up on the fact that Nicodemus has gone, you do amazing things by worldly standards. And yes, they would have been miraculous, they would have been actual healings and so forth, but for Nicodemus, that's like, and that's what's impressive, and that's a kingdom thing. And Jesus wants to say, you haven't seen the half of it yet. There are very quiet, purposeful things that are happening in the kingdom of God that you're missing because all you've noticed is some miraculous things. But essentially, whatever is going on, Jesus is saying that you can only recognize what is of God if you've been born of God. And so, to go back there for a minute, it's only if you've taken the red pill. And it's a funny sort of thing, isn't it? Because Morpheus says to Neo, do you want the red pill or do you want the blue pill? Do you want to wake up in your bed tomorrow and just think this is all there is to life? Or do you want to see how far the rabbit hole goes? And so he offers it. And yet this offer is really, in one sense, open to every single one of us, isn't it? So those people who live in this world who wake up every day and they just, if you said to them, do you know all the good things in your life come from God, would go, what God? Is it really offered to them as well? Well, you have to take the red pill. There's an offer there, there's an acceptance there, but there's a little bit more to it as well. That horrendous picture there is Neo as he's just woken up from his pod where he's been stewing in the computer program for many, many years. He's woken up and he's realised that he's not the only one in the computer program, as you can see by the other pods filled with people. They're all plugged into this computer program. He has woken up. He's been born again. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. In other words, something needs to happen for this extra reality to become obvious to you. One of the things that's obvious in the movie is that Neo knows something else is happening. He knows there's a greater reality, and he wants to know more before Morpheus has even approached him. There's no doubt in anybody's mind, I think, when they're viewing it, that he's going to go for the red pill. At the very least, we're all going, yes, take the red pill, take the red pill. We don't want to watch a movie where Neo just wakes up again in his bed as though nothing's happened. And so Jesus says to Nicodemus, there's got to be something else. And there is this sense that this something else is more than all of us have already experienced, because we've all been born. And I don't know if you've ever seen that skit. I remember seeing it in a church I went to many years ago. They had these two people under a sheet, and they had torches, and they had embryonic sort of noises happening, fluidy noises and stuff, and these two people talking, and they're two twins, they're unborn babies. And they have a conversation about, do you believe in life after birth? And this whole concept, is there really something after we go towards the light? And we look at it and go, of course there is. I know, because I actually can't remember life before birth. I only remember life after birth. And so it's the only reality I know. We all have that earthly birth. That's why we're here. But we need a kingdom birth, so that we can see the kingdom. And I want to really highlight what it is that Jesus says. Jesus has made it quite clear that if you want to see the kingdom, then you need to have this birth. He then says if you want to enter the kingdom. And I think for many of us, I've certainly grown up with this story, with the understanding this is about getting into the kingdom. And when Jesus said, if you want to see the kingdom, you've got to be born again, I always thought, well, you know, that day in the future, if you want to see the kingdom, but this is a present reality that Jesus is pointing everybody to, as well as a future one. It's if you would like to see the reality of the kingdom now. Like I said, that psalmist, for the psalm that we read, as he's going through, as we go through that psalm, we see that psalmist has a kingdom perspective now. He can see the kingdom in ways that we often forget to. That's why it's great to have a psalm like that and to be able to read it and be reminded of what the kingdom looks like here and now. But Jesus goes on, and this is where it gets a little bit hard to follow, I think. He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I guess one of the things that seems consistent with how people understand that is that this has to do something to do with that birth that we're talking about. Ultimately, that birth comes through the Spirit. And so even though Morpheus offers Neo a red pill and a blue pill, and in the same way God offers us a red pill or a blue pill at points, don't say that too quickly, there's also the reality that this is a work of the Spirit. And so there is a mystery to this. And this is something that we cannot force, and we cannot force anybody else into the kingdom. And maybe this is where it comes back to the fact that there is two pills and people make a choice. And yet the Spirit is in it. It's somehow a mystery. And so some of the conclusions I come to is that this is a Spirit thing that is happening, and we cannot predict it or control it. It's something that God does. But the reality is the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. I've got a quote there by one of the guys who took the red pill. And that's that question that Morpheus asks, you know, take the blue pill, wake up, nothing's changed. The red pill, then we'll see how deep the rabbit hole goes. But of course, that's the problem, isn't it? Where does the rabbit hole go? Because maybe the rabbit hole is going to demand all of my life. Maybe the rabbit hole is going to bring trials and hardship for me. Do I want to understand this kingdom reality if hardship comes with it? Do you know Jesus told his followers that if you live in this kingdom reality, hardship will come to you? And so there's one guy in this movie who says, why, oh why, didn't I take the blue pill? He would rather live a lie, and yet that's what he did. And maybe that's a part of the mystery of all of this. My third and final point is that we now, if we do take indeed the red pill, and I would hope that each and every one of us here has taken the red pill or is certainly thinking about it, if we've done that, what does this new reality mean? What does living in it mean, and what is going to be asked of us? Well, Jesus goes on to say in verse 11, I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I don't know if this goes back to Nicodemus and that idea of whether or not Nicodemus really understood anything about the kingdom of God by looking at miraculous things that Jesus had done. But would appear that certainly the people that Nicodemus represents, teachers of the law, the religious leaders of this nation, the people of Israel, don't accept, on the whole, what it is that Jesus bears testimony to. And so the first thing that I think we probably need to do is make sure that we have taken the red pill, because it can get very confusing at times. And that's one of the things that's happened down through followers of Jesus through the centuries, and it begins very early in the book of Acts. And that is that some people claim to have taken the red pill and be a part of God's community, and yet they're not seeing things, the kingdom reality, the way it is. I've mentioned a couple of times already that psalm that we read this morning talked about how God provides everything. What's the go with Ananias and Sapphira pretending to have taken the red pill, pretending to be in the community where everybody lives as though God provides for them, and yet they pretend to live a life that says God provides for me? And so Jesus wants to remind us about a truth that he speaks about, that he testifies, that if we've taken the red pill, we should see and be able to accept and understand. In verses 13 to 14, he says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man. So the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone must believe in him may have eternal life. Who believes in him may have eternal life. There's this little picture that, and for right now it gets a bit confusing with the Matrix. Is there an element in which Jesus is the pill? And if we believe in Jesus, Jesus is a key here. If we decide to believe what Jesus testifies to, he's the one who came and said, I am the Son of God. The testimony that he brings, maybe that is what we're supposed to take and understand and believe at this moment. Maybe it's his death and his resurrection. Maybe it's the sacrifice that he has paid on our behalf. And maybe that's the link to this, this time in the desert when there was... because that's what verse 14 is alluding to there, where the snake on the staff was lifted up, and people of Israel who had been bitten by snakes at that time, there was a plague of snakes who had been bitten who were dying, would live. This idea that we see the sacrifice and we believe in it and we have life, and we have life to the full. And so there's this reality to see it, to know it, to experience it, and obviously to live it out. Maybe that's what it is. If we flick over to 1 John 1, maybe this is what John is talking about. It is Jesus that is the key. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. For John, as he writes his letter, Jesus is the key to this. And he bears testimony to this new reality, this kingdom reality that Jesus brought with him. Do you know Jesus, as he walked around and told parables, how many times did he say, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what the kingdom of life is like. When the disciples said, what is it that we should pray, teach us to pray, what is it? He says, pray your kingdom come. That's not a future reality, that's right now. That's actually me also being open to the fact, as I pray, that God may use me to be a part of his kingdom in some way. And so I'm landing in a funny place, I guess, with a passage like this. This idea of Nicodemus coming and being born again. My Sunday school lessons on this were quite simply that I had to understand there was a different type of birth, and that came through Jesus, and that was being washed from my sins, and therefore I enter the kingdom of heaven. And all that is true, but there's something missing from my understanding of it when I was younger. And that is that this is an invitation to have my eyes open now to a reality, a way of living. I told a few weeks back, and I just mentioned something that is very much kingdom living. I was talking about love and different aspects of understandings of love and so forth, and I talked about the I-thou. Some of you remember that, rather than the I-it. It came from a Jewish philosopher, and the idea that if I look at people as something that I can just gain things from, I view them as an it, not as a human being, not as a person, certainly not as a child of God. And one of the things that needs to change and shift in me is that I look at people as in regards to myself with an I-thou relationship. They are not an it, they are a thou, they are a person. That's kingdom living. And a number of people came up to me after that talk and said, that was really helpful. I love that idea of the I-thou. Well, those people, at that point, their eyes were open to something new about kingdom living and a kingdom reality. That you don't do relationships as economic transactions, you do relationships in a kingdom way. Wanting, fighting, striving, being willing to die for what is not for the good of you, but for the good of others. So, Jesus says this awesome little thing in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We actually have Jesus encouraging us through the Gospels to not just hear about the kingdom, know about the kingdom, have knowledge about the kingdom, read about the kingdom. He encourages us to be in the kingdom, to seek it, to live it, to enter it, and to have our eyes opened to that. What are all these things that are going to be added unto you? Well, if you go to Matthew chapter 6, you can read those things that will be added unto you, but I'll give you a clue. They're in that psalm that we looked at this morning. Everything that you need will be given to you. Because in the kingdom, and this is a reality that Jesus was trying to point us to as he walked around healing people and feeding people, in the kingdom there is no hunger, there is no blindness, there is no leprosy, there is no hate. That kingdom clearly hasn't fully arrived, has it? And yet if our eyes are open to see what God is doing, we can see that those things are being changed in people's lives and hearts each and every day. Well, I wanted to finish by, I guess, just drawing your thoughts to something slightly different, because I'd love to give you something to go and do. I think that's a good thing to do at the end of a talk, and I don't have a box of red pills to give you, and so I can't do that. But I can encourage you to go and seek the kingdom. I'd love to give you a practical way of doing that. And I was reminded as I was reading through a devotional of the part that the Sabbath plays in helping us. And the Sabbath is just one example. There's all sorts of spiritual practices which ultimately, I think there's a way in which spiritual practices help us open our eyes and live in the reality of the kingdom. And Eugene Peterson is quoted in this as talking about the Sabbath. He says that the Deuteronomy reason for Sabbath keeping is that our ancestors in Egypt went for 400 years without a vacation in Deuteronomy 5:15. Never a day off. The consequences, they were no longer considered persons but slaves, hands, work units, not persons created in the image of God. but equipment for making brick and building pyramids humanity was defaced. That reminds me of The Matrix and how they were all just living in pods of slush plugged into a program. They've been defaced. They were work units. If you understand more of the movie, you would know that they were there simply to generate power to run robots. It's a bit of a backstory, but maybe you'll go watch it if you haven't seen it. But this is what happens when we get caught up in this life and this world. Humanity is defaced. We're not who we were supposed to be, and Sabbath keeping can remind us of who we're supposed to be. And so Peter Scazzero, who wrote this devotion, goes on to say, Sabbath keeping is meant to be an experience of the truth, that you are not a doing machine, but a deeply loved son or daughter of God. God is not interested in simply using you to get work done. He delights in you. And he provides free time once a week so that you might relish your release from oppression and slavery. How is it that we take hold of, live in, have our eyes open to walk in this new reality that is the kingdom of God? Let's pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Jesus and for his death and for his resurrection and for the price that he has paid for us, that we might no longer die but we might be truly alive. And we thank you for this invitation into your kingdom. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would open our eyes more and more each and every day to the reality of who you are and what it is that you are doing in us and around us. Lord, open our eyes to the part that you would have us play. And this week, Lord, whether it's stepping into something like a Sabbath rest, or whether it's a daily thing and just taking time out to sit with you in silence and solitude, or whether it's reading scripture, whether it's simply being with you in prayer, whatever it is that this week we might do, I ask, Lord, that you would use those things. We recognize that we cannot control your spirit and where and when it blows. But Heavenly Father, we want to invite you into our lives. And we want to ask that you would help us to see this reality in us and around us. We ask, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would open our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen.